Something kept gnawing for attention, and after a few minutes I recognized what it was. The guard. He was there for a purpose, and smoking on duty wasn't considered the best behavior for a sentry. Perhaps I was being finicky, but it is a failing of mine. Take care of all the small factors, and the big ones take care of themselves. In any case, simply thinking about it was bothering me, so I might as well go around and say a word to him. He wasn't at his usual post, which was optimistic. At least he was making the rounds and keeping an eye on things. I started to walk back when I noticed the broken flowers hanging from the edge of the garden. This was most unusual because the roof gardens were the Count's special pleasure and were practically manicured daily. Then I saw the dark patch in among the flowers and had the first intimation that something was very, very wrong. It was the guard, and he was either dead or deeply unconscious. I didn't bother to find out which. There was only one reason I could think of for someone to be here at night like this. Angelina. Her room was on the top floor, almost below this spot. Silently, I ran to the decorative railing and looked over. 5 meters below was the white patch of the balcony outside her window. Something black and formless was crouched there. My gun was in my room. For one of the few times in my life I had been so disturbed that my normal precautions were forgotten. My concern over Angelina was going to cost her her life. All of this I realized in a fraction of a second as my fingers ran along the balustrade. A shiny blob was fixed there, anchoring a strand so thin that it was invisible, yet I knew was as strong as a cable. The assassin had lured himself with a web spinner, a tiny device that spun a thin strand like a spider. Only the strand's substance was formed of a single long-chain molecule that could support a man's weight. It would slice my hands like the sharpest blade if I tried to slide down it. There was only one way I could reach that balcony, a tiny square above the 2 kilometer drop into the valley below. I made the decision even as I was leaping up onto the rail. It had a wide, flat top, and I sat for an instant to catch my balance. Below me, the window swung open noiselessly, and I dropped, my heels extended, aiming for the man below. I turned in the air, and instead of hitting him squarely, I caromed off his shoulder, and we both sprawled onto the balcony. It shivered under the impact, but the ancient stone held. The fall had half stunned me, and with pain-blurred reasoning, I hoped that his shoulder felt as bad as my leg. For a few moments, I could do nothing but gasp for breath and try to scramble towards him. A long, thin-bladed knife had been knocked from his hand by the impact, and I could see it glittering where he reached for it. His fingers clutched it just as I attacked. He grunted and made a vicious stab at me that brushed my sleeve. Before he could draw back, I had his knife wrist in my hand and clamped on. It was a silent nightmare battle. Both of us were half-dazed from my drop, yet we knew it was life we were battling for. I couldn't stand because of my bruised leg, and he was instantly on top of me, heavier and stronger. He couldn't use the arm I had landed on, but it took all the strength of both my arms to hold away the menacing blade. There was no sound other than our hoarse panting. This assassin was going to win as weight and remorseless strength brought the knife down. Sweat almost blinded me, but I could still see well enough to notice the twisted way his other arm hung. I had broken a bone when I hit, yet he had never made a sound. There is no such thing as fair fighting when you are struggling for your life. I squirmed my leg out from under him and managed to bend it enough to dig the knee into his broken arm. His whole body shuddered. I did it again, harder. He twisted, trying to pull away from the pain. I heaved sideways, throwing him off balance. His elbow bent as he tried to save himself from falling, and I put all my strength in both hands, turning that sinewy wrist and driving the hand backwards. It almost worked, but he was still stronger than I was, and the point of the blade merely scratched his chest. Even as I was fighting to turn the hand again, he shuddered and died. A ruse would not have tricked me, but this was no ruse. I felt every muscle in his body tighten rock hard in a spasm as he fell sideways. My grip on his wrist didn't lessen until the light came on in the room behind me. Only then did I...